All right, it's 6:10, and I'm going to call the monthly meeting of the Great River Regional Library to order. And we have a fair amount of guests in the room, so we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to go around and introduce the board. I'll start. I'm Ed Popp, Benton County Commissioner and current chair of the board.
George Fiedler, Stearns County resident.
Randy Wincher, Morrison County Commissioner.
Lisa Fobey, Sherburne County Commissioner.
Wayne Bauernschmidt, Wright County Volunteer.
Gary Knizel, Todd County Commissioner.
Lynn Gruing, Stearns County Citizen.
Melissa Fee, Wright County Citizen.
Al Lundahl, Stearns County Citizen.
Sadian Jim, Stearns County Citizen.
Mary Eberly, Sherburne County Citizen.
Brianne Fruth, Communications and Development Coordinator for the Library.
Karen Punsock, Executive Director.
Patty Willetsko, Administrative Assistant.
Okay. Adopt or amend the agenda.
No changes.
No changes.
So moved.
I'll second. Lisa.
Okay. Yeah. State your name when you're making a motion. Okay. Approval of the minutes. 3.1. They were in your. Oh yeah. So we need a vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Adopt. Approval of the minutes. The September 22 minutes, and we'll do them both together unless somebody has any questions on one. And the November 1st, 2022 Executive Committee on the table.
Motion to approve both September and November, the first meeting. Minute.
Second.
I'll second, George.
George. Okay, any discussion on that right now? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, and now we'll move to the public forum. But before we move to the public forum, I'm going to read a statement that I think was out on the forum. Public forum, a total of 10 minutes. Each person is limited to 2 speakers, must address the library-related topics not already on the agenda. Board members will not interact with the public speaking concerns and references to the management for follow-up. All the parties are expected to display appropriate behavior during this period of time. So we have Sandy and Randy Clocker from Avon. Okay.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, is 10 minutes total for the forum, or is it 10 minutes each for the forum?
2 minutes.
Two minutes each, 10 minutes total.
I just wanted to make sure.
Can you hear me now?
You'll have to move closer.
I'm here to.
Is that on?
Yeah, it is. You just have to.
Good evening. My name is.
There you go.
Mary Kay Hooney from St. Joseph. And I'm here to discuss the book, It's Perfectly Normal. Let's start with the definition of a groomer. A groomer is someone who builds a relationship, trust, emotional connection with a child or young person so they can manipulate, exploit, and abuse them. Jamie emailed me, says, the book, It's Perfectly Normal, meets the selection criteria and fits within the library's collection development policy. In the policy, it says, suitability of subject and style for intended audience. The intended audience is a 10-year-old. Does that look like it's suitable? Also, favorable information. I don't believe looking at pictures, having pictures of young children touching in areas, they should not be, this book is disgusting. And I feel it should just be taken out. Also, when I and many others that I have shown this book to, the physical acts, the pictures, the descriptions, are the authors in this book normalizing this behavior? Why do you think this book is appropriate for 10-year-olds? Also, you know, how does the decisions made here in the library? Because when Jamie emailed me, she goes, I will not be removing this book. Well, what is your process? You know, does it go to the board, trustees? How many people are involved in this decision? Did the board even get our reconsideration form? We all did one. Also, in the responsibility selection, it says that ultimate responsibility, of course, is for materials and securing allocating funds for materials rests with the executive director, who operates within the framework of budgets, policies, goals, objectives, by the board of trustees. The executive director will delegate authority, and then unusual problems will be referred to the director. But I just feel that we, the people, want this book out of the library. Have any of you opened it and actually looked inside of it? We need to get rid of this book. Thank you.
You can take it out and hold it if you want.
I'm Sandy Clocker from Avon. Recently, I became aware of the sex trafficking in St. Cloud. The sex trafficking in St. Cloud, other than the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, ranks third. Third in sex trafficking. Please watch this from Kendall, our attorney Kendall from Stearns County. Is there a connection between sex trafficking and porn? 80% are shown porn to their victims. Is that in books? Violence is likely with the sex trafficked people and children. You have books in your library. Perfectly normal. I think I just checked out two new books today. They look like they're brand new. They're very graphic. They're in the juvenile section. They're for ages 10 and up. This is porn in the library for 10 years old. Where is this going to lead to? Mental health with our children? Disruptions with our children? Is it going to end up? They've got enough of that in the schools right now. Why do we have to have it in the library? Some of the comments in this book are, can you get pregnant from anal and oral sex? Jamie sent me something and said it was checked out 82 times within the last 2 years. Now, I just probably checked out 5 or 6 of those because I want to keep it out of the library. Genderqueer is the next one we're going to be talking about. So who is checking out that book besides me? 10-year-olds? Pedophiles, sex offenders. Try to provide content for all is what I hear from this library. Can't people go to Barnes and Nobles? Can't they buy something on Amazon? Provide what the people need. What if someone wants the book, How to Rape My 4-Year-Old Daughter? Are you going to provide that? Back to the normalizing of the sex. With the minor attracted person. This is not right. This is shameful. My money is going to the public library. I was at the meeting when Karen came up and asked for an additional $94,000 in tax money to go towards this library. I'm happy to support this library. I do not want to support porn that could lead into sex trafficking. The books are to educate. Then who are we educating with this book? The pedos, the groomers, the pimps, the perverts? It's not okay. It's shameful. Don't tell me it's perfectly normal. If you do not want to remove this, then I hold you in complicit with that sex trafficking pedo ring. This does not belong in the library. and we do not need it in our area. Please start cleaning up our community for we, the people, but mostly for the children. Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else? Anna Marie DeLamere?
Well, we just thought you had to check in. Anybody else want to talk? Anybody? No? Okay. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Very much for considering. We've tried the reconsideration process.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we have, come and state your name at the podium then if you want to speak.
Okay, thank you. No, thanks. My name is Mel Totic. I'm a St. Cloud resident. 1608 28th Street South. I'm also a member of CMFA and Parents Defending Education, which is out of Virginia, the state of Virginia. And to my knowledge, the indoctrination of our children is a very, very serious matter. And I'm seeing it in the schools, and Parents Defending Education is currently in a legal lawsuit against a school district where the teacher is demanding, well, let's go back here. The parents demanded from the school board that they remove books from the school library. And the board initially refused, but making a long story short, the parents did prevail, and they removed the books, but one teacher in particular put up signs in the schools telling the students where to go to the public library and obtain these books. And so it's not necessarily just the public library, it's the schools and a complete introduction of our children. And I personally experienced this with my own granddaughters in the St. Cloud schools and my friend's daughter in the Minneapolis schools. And I'm telling you, I have pictures on my phone of those books. And I'm old. I'm 72 years old, and I'm telling you, it's trash. And it belongs nowhere but in the burn pit. And really, if I can do anything on my local level, I will. And that's why I'm here tonight, because I'm taking a stand. We need to protect our kids. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Then we'll move on to number five, the financials. 5.1, the bills and addendums were emailed to you. It's a request or requested action. So what's your wishes?
I'll move approval of the bills and the addendum. Lisa?
I'll second.
Mary seconds it. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. 5.2, the financial report was emailed. We need action on this to accept it.
I move to approve.
Melissa? Need a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
I'll second it. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 6, the consent agenda. We need action on this one. 6.1. Do you want to do 6.1 and 6.2?
You can do them together if you want.
Again? Okay. So we'll look at 6.1 and 6.2. Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund 2020. Complete report was on page 7. And all staff day library closure request is on page 15. Does anybody want to discuss any of them individually? No? Mary, you want to make a motion?
Will.
Mary?
I'll move approval.
Makes the motion to accept them?
Second.
Seconded by Wayne. Any discussion on them? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Any communications? Okay. Presentation from Great River Year End. I believe that's Brianna.
Stand? Or no. I don't know.
No, I guess it doesn't matter. So the presentation for this evening, as we have come to the end of the year already, is the library's biggest fundraiser, the year-end campaign. And each of you at your spot, you will see two envelopes and a Great River Regional Library pen. With those, we encourage you to, as the board, consider participating and being a leader in this year-end campaign, and with your financial support, the library can be where people in our communities can find and use trusted information they need to thrive. And so the biggest thing this evening that Mary and Lee will also touch base on is the importance of board giving. And so the reason that there are two envelopes is if you happen to have any pocket cash that you would like to put in one envelope tonight for, again, that participation, our staff, our donors, different grants ask for how much our board is in support of the work and fundraising that we do. So the participation is what counts, not the dollar amount. And if you would like to then consider what your year-end charitable giving looks like, that is what the second envelope is for, if you would like to take that home to consider as well. And I will pass it off to Mary.
Thank you. You stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I would just like to say it's been an honor to serve on the fundraising efforts for the library. And I've been at this since 2016. Next year, I believe, is my last year on the board. And I'm considering leaving the Fundraising Development Committee at the end of this year. But my goal for the end of the year, two goals, really. I really want the 501c3 status. That's out of our control at this point. And number two, I would really like to leave seeing that we have 100% of board participation. And as Brianne said, we have two envelopes, one for tonight and one to mail in if you feel more generous when you get home. And I think last year, Lee, or maybe it was the year before even, you suggested we contribute one or two per diems.
I didn't contribute the first year. Well, it was just like this year. I was up. I was spending money in my campaign. But I will this year, even though I had campaign expenses. But yeah, the idea of one or two per diem sure works out for me. But just because I do it doesn't necessarily mean it's a great idea, but it's my idea.
Well, I thought it was.
I believe last year we had 100% participation.
We did not. We never have.
We never have. Okay.
We never have.
This is the board's chance.
Yes. In 2021, we had 86%. And in 2020, we had 53% of the board. So last year, we were close with 86%. But again, that's really where we're trying to stress the importance of participation rather than dollar amount.
Am I mistaken? I thought I got this already because I sent in a...
Yeah, you got something by mail.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I sent it to...
Thanks for those of you who are already...
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So where are we percentage-wise?
That
today
is a great question. It goes all to accounting before me. So I am not... I will know on Friday.
Okay.
The last Friday when I looked, we had 3 out of the 15.
Oh. There's plenty of time.
Yes. Yes. So as we wanted to mention it tonight as a reminder that you did indeed receive your letters in the mail.
Yeah.
And so this was a reminder again to also talk about the importance to not forget about it. That and for our donors, the biggest time is at the end of December as well. So not knowing if we are meeting next month. This is our opportunity to just make sure that you keep the library in mind with your year-end charitable giving.
Two more things. If I'm going to go off the fund development committee at the end of this year, we need some more participation, whether from the board or otherwise. We really need to be recruiting people. And secondly, I know we all have our charities, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, buy wreaths, buy cookies, and there's nothing thin about Thin Mints. So, but keep the library on your agenda, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd also add, if you don't need both envelopes and you've already written your checkout and you're confident in that, give this to someone you know. Be an ambassador. Maybe ask them to consider
good
a donation
idea
with year end. So,
good idea.
Well, that's what thank I was you thinking of taking them back and handing yep them out. I already gave, so.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if you're old like me, retired, and you have 401k money, you can do the qualified charitable distributions, QCDs. And you don't got to do nothing, honey. I mean, all you have to do is call your financial people, and they'll take care of it. I mean, it's so slick.
Okay. Anything else?
And
any
it's, it comes off your RMD, and then you don't pay income tax on it. So you get more
win-win, right?
Yep, you get more bang for the buck.
Okay.
So
and designate which library it goes to too, correct?
The year-end campaign is for our one campaign that is for the regional system. And so that is where on the dollar 55% goes to collection, 25% goes to programming, and 20 goes to communications. So this is the one campaign that supports the whole system.
Okay.
Where are we on the 501? We have heard nothing.
Yeah, what's the status?
Nothing from the IRS. Did you get through to them at all?
No, I left a voicemail.
Oh,
well.
You'll hear back in 10 years.
Yeah. Or so. It's been no a very on long time. Yeah.
And what's the status of similar libraries across state?
Some of them have both the government entity and the 501c3. One of them is only 501c3 and is now looking at going back to becoming a government entity because of the implications it has around retirement and different things like that. So most do not do fundraising at the scale like Great River does,
okay,
regardless of status.
So I understand that we're still in pursuit of a 501c3?
Yes. If you recall, last March, we amended our bylaws based on the response they had given to us, and then we sent that all in and haven't heard anything since.
Okay.
So, but I don't know.
A little bit of background that I know is that we did this in Benton County for our economic partnership development. And we hired an attorney that kept, we didn't hire him, he actually did pro bono.
Mm.
And he kept pushing their buttons until they finally came across. I think if we just leave it sit, we're probably going
to
be just sitting.
It's time to start bugging him again.
Yep.
10 years. I would echo what Ed is saying. I worked on one for Catholic Community Schools, hired an attorney finally, and I know she contacted them at least once a month.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that seemed to make the difference.
Yeah, ours was, we sat there for about a year and a half waiting, and finally there was, you know, the guy that we contacted, or had, he wasn't really hired. We did donate something to him, but he was always on it, and finally I think they just got tired of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's the way to go, and if anybody knows of any attorneys in town here that need to do some pro bono work, they all need to do it.
Yeah, we did have legal counsel help us with the application, and okay, we actually paid for that.
I'll speak to the person that did ours, and they're in town.
Oh, that would be
and
great.
And maybe they would be willing to do that.
Yeah.
How long has it been that we filed?
Probably April.
Actually, that's not surprising.
No, that's not. That's not that bad.
Yeah.
Not the first time.
No, the first time I don't even count anymore. That was a casualty of COVID because we sent the application in, didn't hear anything, and then magically we got a check in the mail with no information. And when we got through to the IRS, they said they had sent us a letter and hadn't heard a response. We had never received the letter, but this is when, like, mail delivery was a little sketchy back in 2020. And they couldn't tell us what the letter said. So we have no idea what they asked for. We had to start all over again. So at least we got our check back.
We're probably too fresh out of the election here. With how about legislatively? With any idea on how that will progress? I know there was movement last year, but that kind of stalled. And
yeah.
It depends on Representative Wolgamott.
The big supporter.
Was reelected. He was a big supporter. It's hard to say what committees he'll be ending up on going into the next session, but that is definitely something we'll be working on in the coming year. That's separate from fundraising, of course, but we'll definitely be working on it.
Anything else on that? And then we'll move on to staff reports. Executive director.
In the interest of time, I would encourage you to read through the report. The one update, since this was printed, that I'm aware of, Amy shared in Fund Development Finance Committee earlier tonight. I had noted that we had not received our RLBSS payment yet. That was because there are two counties that they had not posted the ANTC numbers for. And without those numbers, they can't run the formula. So I talked to the state librarian yesterday, and she said that they have managed to get those Department of Revenue numbers, and we can expect some catch-up payments in November. We should have received two payments by now. But I partly call it out in tandem to the earlier comment about legislation. If the legislation had passed where the calculation date was based on prior year's data, this number would have already been run. But because they're waiting for the Department of Revenue to update the data, they can't even run the formula. So So hopefully those numbers come through. We don't actually start spending those dollars usually until the beginning of the year. So from a budget standpoint, we're not in crisis yet, but other systems are in a different spot than we are. That way. And I think the rest of it speaks for itself. Everyone's doing some really great work. I encourage you to read through those and just see all the great work that's happening across the region.
Okay, so we're good with the staff reports then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have a specific time for the closed session that Susan's going to join?
Susan could not start before 7.
Okay.
So we're okay yet.
All right. Then we'll move on to committee reports. Financial committee met. Lee was tied up, evidently, busy, so I ran that for him. The report was the third quarter's, the designated use survey. We had a little discussion on that about the cost. No, that wasn't, that was the, yeah, that was, yeah. That was the cost. About the cost, and Karen's going to work on that. It went from $8,000 to $12,000, and maybe that's too much. Designated presentation testing, that was approved. And then we did the 2023 budget surplus of $300,000+. We don't know the exact numbers. That's being moved into the 2024 budget. Anybody else in that committee got anything else to add? Wayne, Randy?
It's true, I wasn't there, but my annual question is, and what is the appropriate level of reserves? And I ask that
6 months
all the time.
Yeah. 3 to 6, right? Or 4 to 6?
Policy says 3 to 6.
3 to 6.
Mm-hmm. And we're at, what, 4, 4.5?
4.5 at last audit.
Mm-hmm. So they're... The finance people were thinking it's going to be somewhere in that $300,000 that'll be rolled in to next year's budget. No numbers for sure yet. So with that, I'll accept a motion to approve the financial report.
So moved, Randy.
I'll second George. Or Randy and George. Any discussion, any other questions asked about it? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then we had a personnel committee, and Melissa's going to take that.
We conducted a performance review of Karen Punsack, Executive Director of Great River Regional Library, in a closed meeting tonight. And Karen was reviewed on 6 performance areas: strategic planning, organizational communication, community leadership, relationship with the Board of Trustees, management of human resources, and financial management. I don't know if anyone, does anyone need a description of any of those areas, or can I continue on? Good. Okay. Feedback from the board members in Karen's direct reports were used to complete the performance review, and based on the feedback received, Karen exceeded requirements in all areas of the review.
Gotcha.
So, could we move to approve the...
I would just like to know, what are things that people said as goals for the future that were identified? Because I know at one point in the evaluation there was a section to identify future goals. What are we identifying as future goals?
Took that.
Yep, we don't know. We don't have that in front of us.
Karen's got it?
I got it.
Okay.
Because I need to know what they are.
Yeah.
So the goals we discussed were: learn more about the perception of library services in our communities, continue moving forward with diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts throughout the region, elevate the voice of youth in developing library services, and rolling over the goal around recruiting new members to the Fund Development Committee. There was also some suggestions for board members. That was one of them. And the other two were making sure all libraries are sufficiently staffed, yet conservative, and be more assertive in making the library welcoming for all in the community, improve cultural awareness about our community and its needs.
Okay. Did you make the motion?
I would like to make the motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Faria and Melissa, any other discussion on the performance of our executive director for the past year? Mary.
I'd just like to say good job and thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks, Karen. It's been great. Then the executive committee met. Do we want to do a verbal now or do we want to do it after closed session on what they discussed? Because it was pretty...
It was open session. The minutes were on the table.
Okay.
Wayne, I don't know if you wanted to... Yeah. Wayne got to chair the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Wayne.
Barely made it here in time. But
beat me.
There were really the five items in front of you there. There was personnel policy revisions and updates. Karen did a real good job getting through quickly because the meeting literally lasted about 15 minutes in comparison and laying out what had been updated. Also something that needed some help moving along was the annual cash out and conversion option. The language clarified that annual cash out option. And then the insurance benefits and the benefit programs, more updated employee eligibility and so on. So all in all, we voted on all of that at one time. So.
Okay. Any questions of Wayne? Thanks, Wayne, for doing that. Fund Development Committee?
I can do that. So we had met on October 12th, and with the year-end campaign, the Fund Development Committee will be doing a new volunteering task. So that is what we discussed at our last meeting. They will be calling past major donors to thank them for their past participation and invite them to participate again. So during the meeting, we went through and reviewed some scripts, and I will be providing lists to each of the committee members either in late November or early December to connect with our major donors.
Any questions of Brianna or Mary? Was there, I imagine?
I was not.
It was not, okay. All right, moving on to Central Minnesota Library Exchange. Anything?
Saria, are you able to report on this?
My mind is a blank, but it was...
It was the meeting about the lease that I missed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There was a lot of legal jargon. Apparently... the place where they currently have their office, they were told that they can continue with that, but then the owner supposedly sold the building and told them to vacate the building. So we were trying to connect with some. The first question that we talked about was, should we get legal counsel to deal with this, or should we just go on our own? And I think the whole board approved to get legal counsel for it. And then the second step is, what are we going to negotiate and what are we going to go for in terms of our contract and how do we handle that situation? So I don't know if there has been an update since then because they had said, okay. So that was kind of most of the gist of the meeting.
Any questions? Mary?
Has the audit been completed?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, the audit is done.
Oh, they finally got it.
Yes.
And did they get, they were going to ask for dollars back from CMRADC because it cost more to do the audit.
Yes, this
right?
time, yes.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks, Aria. library unfinished business, 11.1 library development plan. This is action for approval.
So this was the document we discussed in October, pretty much in depth. The one piece of information that is significantly different is page 80. We had discussed at that meeting how we would handle a popular materials collection and whether that could be applied in a situation like Cold Spring or White Park. And so our staff has updated the text that was in there, just saying that's not something we would recommend at this time. Otherwise, everything else in the document's been updated based on the discussion at the October work session. If you have any questions about this document, please let me know, because this is a three-year plan, and the next steps after this would be to connect with those cities that are identified on page 32 about facility improvements, and just reinforce the message that we do need improvements at Belgrade around the water intrusion. We need more concrete action in Cold Spring, and likely we'll be making changes to the service model there because there's been such a lack of action for so long. Work with the city of Sauk Center on their window issues, and then work with the city of Wake Park on their facility as well. The three that are already under construction, we are already in conversations with. We'll probably just let all the cities know that this document's been updated. We did send messages to cities saying this document was being considered, and they get agendas from all of our board meetings. So they should be aware that this is being under consideration tonight.
And where were the bats? Sauk Center?
Little Falls this Little time.
Falls.
Yep.
This time.
Well, they're both old Carnegies. They just kind of attract that stuff. Yeah.
They probably came with the property.
Yep. Well, and if you didn't catch it, Little Falls Carnegie Library was highlighted on Minnesota Public Radio recently as one of the oldest standing operating libraries that are Carnegie Libraries. So, you know, credit to the city of Little Falls for making an old building go for that long.
No matter the bats.
No matter the bats. They figured it out.
So this is an action item.
So, right. Wade Park approved their public service building, but was there any mention of having a library in the public service building?
Not that I'm aware of. They are. We've had conversations with them about getting us on the capital improvement plan. I don't know what that exactly looks like. It's possible they go that direction, but it's hard to say. Yeah.
Okay.
So moved.
Go ahead.
I'll second.
Oh, Zaria made a motion. Yeah. All right, yeah. Thank you. And seconded by Mary.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. 11.2 Elk River open hours adjustment.
So, if you recall, the city of Elk River had a 5-year agreement with Great River to extend open hours there, and they were paying us for the staffing to do that. Both entities have decided to discontinue those open hours starting January 1st. We had some staffing openings there, so we were able to adjust the staffing without impacting staff directly, which was really awesome. And then we worked with the city of Elk River and the patrons of Elk River to try to figure out what that schedule should look like, because one of the goals with adding those 5 hours was making a consistent open hour schedule. So the city sent over a letter that was part of the October packet saying this is the schedule we would recommend. And then the first week of October, we had our door count. And the second week of October, they had Friends of the Library book sale in the Elk River Library. So during that 2-week period, we distributed surveys to the people who were coming through the doors just to see when they would be interested in being open. And then we also took a look at what the circulation counts were telling us in terms of foot traffic, and then what the door counts actually said. And that pretty much lined up with the answer that's in your packet. They are going to be closing earlier Monday through Thursday. So they're going to be open from at 10 o'clock to 7 o'clock Monday through Thursday, and then Friday 10 to 5, and they're adding an hour on Saturday to be open a little longer on Saturday. And that seemed to be the consensus from all of those different sources of information. We hope that will help people access the library when they're actually looking to access the library. The one question that's still kind of out there is in September, the city of Elk River shifted the meeting room management to the library, so that's being done online now, which means if you're using the library meeting room, it needs to be when there's staff in the building. So the meeting room will be closing at 7 o'clock, which means they need to start packing up at 10 to 7. It may impact the use of that meeting room a little bit, but we'll see how that goes, and we can always make another adjustment next year if we have to. So this is just an information piece.
Any questions on that? Anybody from Sherburne County?
So, Mr. Chair, thank you. So did the city coordinate the meeting room in the past?
Yes. Because when the it's gone back and forth.
Side? I mean, you can lock the
you
doors
could,
and
yep.
just get to the meeting room still, correct? Yeah.
Right. And so when they first opened, they charged for the meeting, or they had a deposit. And then when we went to PCI compliance, we could no longer hang on to those library or the credit card information with library staff. Like, we didn't want library staff touching people's credit cards. So at that point, the city took over all of the management. And now, because they found out how much work that was, they decided to discontinue the practice of having a deposit. They haven't had issues with needing the deposit. So they've just eliminated that layer completely. And then adopted the meeting room policies similar to what we use here in St. Cloud. So staff will be managing it, but it's mostly done online. And it sounds like it's gone fairly seamless, even though, you know, you took a whole set of calendars and moved them over here. But I don't think any balls got dropped so far. So that was good.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on that? And 11.3 was Executive Director's Annual Evaluation Summary. I think we pretty well covered that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just a standing item.
Okay.
That was already passed, too. So.
Yeah, it was passed already. So.
Yeah. Susan isn't available until 7. She just sent me a message that she was still in negotiation. So
okay.
If you want to continue the rest of the agenda until at least 7 o'clock. She said she'd be calling us, and then we could close the meeting, or if you want to, I don't know how you want to do it, but there's a couple of things after the closed session that we could do before that, if you want.
Okay. You wish to move on?
That's her. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Oh.
She's right on time.
Tell her thanks.
Yeah.
6:56, we're going to have a closed session for closed for labor negotiation strategy pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.03.
So we need a motion.
I need a motion and a second to vote on the closing closed session.
I'll move to close, George.
I second.
Oh, you did give me an idea, though.
Zaria, did you get the second?
You got
George?
A dog.
Okay.
And then we need a vote.
So all in favor of closed session?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. So then we're back to regular session. And we'll wait and see on the. You said they're voting tomorrow?
Yep. So for those of you on the executive committee, if you could maybe stick around, we can talk calendars. Hope would be we'd be voting within the next couple of weeks, unfortunately.
Do we all need to be there, or can we just come in and sign?
It's an open meeting, so yeah. I have to have four
quorum.
Of seven executive committee members to pass it.
How many do we need?
Four out of the seven.
Seven, okay.
And last time we thought we had six out of the seven, and then ended up with four out of the seven, and two of the people we weren't planning on actually having them here. So
yeah, thanks to the ones that came, because
was
I could not
a normal day.
I could not make it. I was.
Yeah, I got a text in the middle of the day. I'm seeing patients. Can you make it to the meeting tonight? I'm like, what?
I must have called you about what? It was like 10 o'clock, or I was going to make it back, and I couldn't make it back from Little Falls. That was, and I said, Karen, I can't make it. I'm going to have an MRI on my shoulder. And
that's right. None of that this time, Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try not to. So I think we're good on that. And then we'll move on to new business. 12.1, farewell to departing members.
Before we do that, can I ask a question?
Sure.
We had a presentation tonight. I don't know. What happens? What's the process?
On the books?
Yeah, on the books. What happens?
Oh, well, I asked those people who received Jamie's response. They asked what the next steps were.
Who's Jamie?
Jamie Trenum is our Associate Director of Collection Development.
Okay, thank you. So everybody kept saying, I'm like, yeah. Who's Jamie?
So she sent the responses, and then I got the question from a couple of the people, and I said there are two options. If you want to continue with the process, you would send that information to me, and we would meet as a committee to take that next step. If you want to talk to the board directly, there's a public open forum, and this is the date and time. I haven't heard from them until today. So at this point, they have not taken the next step in the process. You know, the board, I look to the board for direction, so if there's direction they want to give, I'm always listening.
Okay.
But at this point, I don't have anything to act on.
So from the board, we listen, but we don't do anything. Is that right?
For the open forum, right?
Right.
But otherwise, we can give feedback. I think you had already said that they had already contested the book, and it had been reviewed, and all people who were on the review committee had said, can you just repeat that information to everybody?
They filled out the request for reconsideration form. It went to Jamie as part of our normal process. She reviewed it. She sent that response back to them. And then they asked what the next step was, which is to appeal that to me, and then I would meet with a committee. That appeal has not happened.
Okay. Well, that's kind of the next step if they wish to go that route.
And who makes up that committee, Mr. Chair?
We have really general guidelines in our policies and procedures about that, and it's never happened before, but when Jamie and I talked about it, it seemed like it would make the most sense if it was me, Jamie, the people who select our books. That is how we would handle, like, a staff grievance, for example. So, yeah, that was the direction I was anticipating going, but at this point, that appeal hasn't even come forward for me to explore that any further.
Karen, are you going to contact one of them to say, okay, thank you, but we haven't received an appeal yet, or just as a reminder? I mean, I know they know the policy, but...
I can. We've had other public forum speakers on other topics. I haven't always done that with other public forum speakers on other topics, and that's where...
Be consistent, then.
Yeah, you never asked about the Sartell Library. I was there so many times. You never followed up.
I'm a former pre-board member public speaker.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I knew you from.
Retiring board members, Christine Hudson. She served on the board from January 2022 through December. She did not seek re-election as a Wright County Commissioner. I guess I do not know who replaced her at this point.
Tina Dietrich, I believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Her. Okay, so we'll get that to her.
Yep.
And the other one is Gary Canensel. He's Todd County.
Take your picture.
In front of the flag.
One of you has to jump over the table.
Can we do it over the table, or do you want to
walk through the water bottle?
I don't know. Can you move your water bottle to Lynn?
This is look in the picture.
Gary served from January of 2022 to December 2022. Thank you for your service, and it was good to meet you. And
speech.
2 minutes only.
I put my timer on.
Todd County will be sending somebody new way.
I assume.
So do you have two new commissioners up there, or three?
Two new ones.
Two ones?
Two young gentlemen.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
We'll see.
See who they send. Usually they take over the guy they, commission to do committees, but.
Yeah. Board open forum. Do we have anything that anybody wants to talk about? Okay, and then we'll move on to executive committee to be determined. We'll have to see if we can get some kind of dates together, right, Karen or Ryan? Okay. And the next meeting of the Board of Trustees will be January 17th, 2023. We'll have a couple of new members. I guess a couple other members will be different. How the county board see fit to appoint people.
See a lot of you back.
Yeah.
Question I have, Mr. Chair. We don't have a personnel meeting that, so do we put the finance at 5:30?
Could, yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
Well, yeah. And will we have finance members?
I won't be here.
Do we have, or do we have to wait till we appoint new finance members?
Well, the commissioners are automatically part of the committee. Yeah, we could wait, but that's going to get clunky. We can see what's on the agenda. We could maybe wait another month.
I'm just saying, because finance is normally at 5, but we don't have a personnel. So
right. So. But, I mean, you know, we're going to have Gary's going to be replaced by somebody. Yeah, and we don't know who Wright County will be.
Sometimes depends on how meetings fall. We don't always have all the commissioners named by that first meeting if the meeting takes place the same day.
Right, and some of the new commissioners in our, on our board, they do not want to approve committee assignments at first meeting in January. They want to have a special meeting to look at committees and set them where they're at right now.
We have three new board members, so I think that'll be the case for us. We won't be approving at that first meeting.
Wright County will probably be in that same boat. I got three as well.
Okay.
We got one new member, but he knows everything, so.
Well, he sat on the board here before.
Yeah.
8 years on the Great River Board. Man, that's for
something. Yeah, if any of you through your community contacts or you know, your public job, if you have access to these really neat little pocket calendars, I'd be grateful if you could score one for 2023.
Okay.
You're going to get flooded.
You're not looking for one of those big walls on board.
Just go to the AMC in December,
and they got
you'll
them.
Get all the pocket calendars you want.
Yeah.
Free.
Okay, well, I am going this year.
There you go.
Yeah.
We all have plenty of them for you. They might not say Great River Regional Library, but they might say.
I think you have a Christmas stocking full of them.
So I guess we kind of got around to a board form after a long wait.
They don't give me booze anymore, so I mean.
Hey, you still get free drink tickets.
I guess the calendar will have to do.
So we'll have, we'll wait and see on the. We'll pick some dates, maybe, Karen, or do you want to wait and see how the union votes?
As long as it's not Tuesday, we should be good.
Are you planning to do it before Thanksgiving, or are you thinking after? That's
well,
kind
we
of.
Well, we have to give notice. It needs to be an open meeting. So
yeah.
It's at least a week out. Open enrollment is scheduled for December 1st. So until the contracts are final, all the union members are kind of.
If they vote tomorrow, that's the
16th.
Okay.
Meeting adjourned. I make a motion we adjourn the meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.